Those minutes?
March of Palm.
No?
2014.
All right.
No, except one of the carryovers for the minutes is still on the agenda today, and that's the McNary power outage and the McNary fish pump 2 status. So after we give another update, I'm not sure we need to keep carrying that on. So just comment there.
All right. Well, let's approve those February minutes and then
we'll
get an update. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll go right into action items with Walla Walla's.
Okay, the first item was return to Kaplan. It says LGS, but actually that's Lower Granite. So we're on schedule. You might recall that we had Dwayne Weston, our chief of tech, at a call into a meeting about 3 months ago, briefly outlined that schedule. I just met with Dwayne last week, and we met with a PM, and so the I'm going to go ahead and run through both Granite and Lomo because there were some questions at the last meeting from Trevor on Lomo. So currently the bridge crane, which needed to be done before we could do the Unit 1 rehab, is scheduled to be completed in January 2015. The Unit 1 rehab contract scheduled to be awarded December 2014 with on-site prep work starting in April 2015. And then we simultaneously have governor installation work. That's the Lomo. Lower Granite bridge crane is scheduled to be completed July 2015. Unit 1 rehab is scheduled to be awarded April 2015. On-site work scheduled to begin mid-September 2015. Governor installation on August 2015 through April 2016, sometime taking place simultaneously. So the other question I had as an action item specific to Trevor was, why did the windings need to be replaced at Lower Monumental? Basically, they're 40 years old. They're well past their service life. They're rated in marginal condition. And that basically is kind of a signal related to reliability. And so the last time that there was an inspection,
participant has joined the conference.
It flagged up as something that should be done. So while the unit is apart, it needs to be done. And folks will recall, I think the discussion at the last meeting was, is there's a fair amount of design work, and Scott's not in here at this point. He'll be stepping back in if we have more questions. That needs to be done ahead of time, which is taking time, you know.
Okay, yeah, so our concern was just that, you know, we were going to get into windings and it was going to put us outside of the schedule for just replacing the unit. It sounds like that's not going to be an issue. It sounds like you guys are going to start to put that unit in 2015 and possibly probably be done by Fish Passage 2016, I'm guessing?
Right now, I think that's the plan, but that could... That's the schedule that I just laid out, Trevor. And I guess what we can do is maybe have this as a periodic, like, you know, we can kind of be watching this schedule maybe on a quarterly basis until we get a little closer.
Okay.
Hey, Ann, could you send out those schedules for those two units, or either that or put it on the FPOM website?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I think that's it for the first action item. And action item 2, I believe, should be out on the FPOM website. That's the Marcus Smith presentation that we tried to do as a web meeting at the last FPOM meeting. So we're probably up for you guys, Portland's action items.
Any questions for Ann? All right, going to 2-2. The first one, I still haven't looked at it yet, but I do have the information, and I got to start teasing through it and see what the four bay elevation would be appropriate for the B2 or B1 ice and trash sluice way. So I will get to that eventually. I know I have a little time. The second one is the avian array after last meeting. We're talking about what's the status of the O&M manual, what's the status of getting those broken lines repaired. I know George Medina is the PM and he is engaged and working on getting that O&M manual. I don't know what SCT report out is. So, Bill, did you bring the avian array discussion to SCT? Evelyn?
Yes, I did. And if I recall that, we kicked that back to FPOM.
Oh, really?
If I recall it right. I'll have to read the notes.
Okay. Eric, do you have any update on the array? What's our plan? Do you know if we're getting a contract in place?
We're trying to get a contract in place right now to have it done before spill season to get the lines that are missing replaced.
Okay. Spill season's coming up.
It's coming up
fast.
Look out here.
Yeah. Both hands a brick wall.
Is that involuntary spill right now?
So that would be normal.
Wow. Wonderful.
Oh, here. I've got it here. The notes say the project does not belong on the CRFM spreadsheet because FPOM is coordinating design and will manage the process of restoring the avian wires.
Okay. So
the main goal now is to finish the O&M manual.
Right.
So that.
That is something that Medina's working on right now with his PDT. So we did bring it to him, and he's like, yeah, he's engaged. I know that. He has the funding to get that completed.
It's still CRFM funded. So
right.
That's one thing.
Yeah. As far as hopefully we'll get a contract in place and get those wires put back up. Any questions? The 223 is the water management plan. Reservoir Control Center is going to make sure that it matches the fish operations plan. You got anybody here from RCC?
Bass is on the phone.
Oh, Ken, are you on? Or Doug. Doug. Are you on the phone? I didn't hear him.
He is. He's also listening to the Wampum call, but he said that he will make sure that those two match.
All right. So what's going on right now for those on the phone, there is a phone call talking about Wampum Dam and some of the operations related to that, and so there's some people on a side conversation outside in another room having this call, so some of those people aren't available. Let's get into our updates with Walla Walla. Two updates.
Okay.
Look at you guys.
This is what I was talking about. That we did give an update last time, and if Gary is happy after we talk about it and have the chance to see it again today while we're out here, if need be, I'd like to just kind of table these because we've been given regular updates just to try to get people comfortable, and I think after last time I thought we were comfortable.
Yeah.
Chatted with Tammy, and because Tammy wasn't at the meeting, I think that's why it's on here again.
Okay. Yeah,
but if you're interested, you know, Carl can give another update. If not, I think we could just move on past these.
And if you really want, I could actually take you down to the fish pump house and show you where all the backup lines run and everything. It's pretty fascinating.
Okay.
So maybe we see if that satisfies it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we can probably move past these.
Right on. That'll bring us to Portland's updates, and I'll let Ben, you got a whole slew of them here. Let's go, just go right down the line. Unit 11.
Nothing new. Until December return to service.
December of 13. 14.
15.
16. 17.
Go.
16.
For now.
Okay. 15. 14. 14.
Hey.
Sorry.
I checked. That's a
It's an index of return to service.
That's great.
You've got a 5-year
can't wait
confidence interval around it.
Yeah.
Plus or minus.
Sorry.
This unit's F1 should be back next week. That's planned.
Okay, good. Then we can drop that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Avian lines, if you hadn't heard, the core line below the corner reflector broke.
Yeah, heard that.
Yeah. So the guys that we get all the wire rope from the spillway and everything else sort out today to give us an estimate and to see when it can be installed.
Was it just fatigue on the thing? Or
I think so. I don't know that it was the right type of wire to begin with. Every time we lowered it and raised it, it would spin a lot.
Oh, okay.
So it was woven wire.
Yeah,
and
it was in the water at times,
right.
Too. So.
Yeah, so they went to lower it.
It's been out there since the original. Is that the original
yep.
wire?
Yep.
How old is that wire?
2011 time clock.
It's the original one, so it's never been replaced.
So that's full floor. It's been, what, almost 10 years now? Well, it wasn't in right away. It took a year or so to get it in, so 8 years maybe.
So should know maybe by the end of today we might be able to get it up, see if we get it up before.
So that's going to be something done by the project? Or a contract?
I assume so, yeah. Well, I mean, no one really knows how it's done, but it's not too difficult, really.
So the cork line gets put up, and then we can get APHIS to come in and do the array all before spill season?
That's what we're shooting
for. All right.
Okay.
Wow, what's that marker smell?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's something good over here.
Can I pass it over?
Yeah, no, there's some kind of, it smells like some marker or something.
Might be somebody's lotion.
T11, is that something you were talking about, Tammy?
This is from Schwartz. This is just a heads up about the outage that they want to do in 2016. Plenty of time to discuss it and argue about it, I'm sure, but it'll take out units 11 through 14. The original schedule was for the last week of July through August. We have requested that they move at least beyond that time frame into September or October.
July,
August.
1 month?
Wonderful.
5 weeks. There will be an MOC coming out, but...
4-bay elevation for the sluice way.
Maybe.
I mean,
if I come back from Maui.
I know. I mean...
If you do your job...
If I do my job, I'll get that done.
So that's just a heads up that you will see an MOC coming out on that. 5 week outage for units 11 through 14.
So 5 week outage, and again,
just write it down.
Right now, it's just thrown out there as the last week of July through August, but that is flexible, so we can come up with a date that is preferable, like end of September and October or something.
So we'll just...
It's just a heads up right now.
Heads up. That was an update. That's a heads up.
2016.
How about the Spillgate MOC?
I think that was from Gary.
Which one?
325 Bonneville Spillgate Inspection.
MOC coordination?
Not quite enough notice.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
3 hour notice?
Yeah, find out about it the day that it happened.
So that.
Friday.
Sure.
Three working days.
I think it could just be my fault if we keep it easy.
Okay.
Ultimately, what it was it came to us as a here's what we need to do. We can't inspect them, obviously. No.
You know, it's not an issue for the spillway. I mean, that's a kind of no-brainer.
Process. Process.
As far as necessity. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I understand.
No, I have nothing at all against doing getting work done.
Sure.
Doing, and it was just my concern was that we got the notice on Friday, which I wasn't at work, and, you know, 3 working days. Well, it doesn't matter. 3 working days, Monday to start. I just didn't.
Well, for what it's worth, we get a re-coordinate it. And
good.
Hausman can... Expand.
Because
so 2 weeks will be.
We decided to re-coordinate.
Yes.
So the Monday they're supposed to start on phase 1 and 2. They're doing 2 bays at a time.
Okay.
Just through the process having not started, they didn't get started until late. They didn't get finished. Tuesday we're spilling, as well as had a problem with spill bay 6 not closing.
Right.
So clearance couldn't be hung. They didn't get 18 done. So they're in the same boat now where we're spilling starting at like 2 p.m., so they're not getting their full days. So it's supposed to be this week and next week. They're not going to get it accomplished. So the question becomes, when do we go back and finish Bay 1, and when do we finish 18, and what might make people comfortable with those closures? Sooner than later?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a big deal either way. Once you start spilling, you can take those out of service for a while, and it's not going to be a big impact to the pattern.
Do you need an adjacent bay closed for that inspection?
Do you need that, or can you just shut the front bay and have the spillway going?
No, everything will be closed.
Oh, everything has to be closed.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I thought they had them all, the others done. It was just the 118.
No. They didn't start any of this until Monday.
Okay.
It started with 1 and 2.
Okay.
They didn't even get that accomplished.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Because it was filled.
Yeah.
So,
but they're able to get it partway done, and that
They're doing, yeah, they're working as much as they can, but it's going to drag out from being this week and next week into, I'm assuming, at least the following week.
Okay.
Be my guess.
Yeah, well, that's putting this right up there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But when they go to do 1 and 18, would you rather see that sooner in the process, later, and what?
Does it make a difference? I mean, if they have to have them all shut down,
do
then.
Do one at the same time?
As soon as you can.
I would do one and then the other.
Okay. See, that's the guidance we gave them a couple months ago, and that's kind of...
But we're still in it. I mean, it really isn't. I don't know how long that's going to go on. Is anybody... I mean, or Scott?
Scott should come in.
Supposed to drop pretty soon.
We're on the downhill side. It's dropping pretty fast each day.
Unless we get another shot, which we're supposed to next week. You know,
so it's raining tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's sure. But then early next week, they're talking about another shot of moisture. Who knows how long that's going to last and how serious it will be. I just don't think just stagger them. That's what happened. I think if that's possible.
And soon it would.
If they can't stagger them, then get her done is really what I would say. But it's important to get her done.
Sure. So,
there's plenty of other routes for steel that to go through now.
I'll have them do it sooner than
that. I really wasn't concerned about them. The work is just getting the certification a little late.
I tried to call you.
You did.
Probably no flushing flow for day 17, potentially. Dropped unexpectedly. Much like day 15 several years ago. Not as dramatic. No fireballs and shrapnel, but not ideal. So it will be dumped off. Start spill season.
Oh, great.
So is this the same story, same problem, any parts? So those that can't hear, we're talking about spill base 17. We're doing a flushing flow to get some debris off of the spillway apron that kind of crawled up over the past year.
Right.
And when we were doing that, spill base 17 failed. The hoist failed, which was the same as what? 18 so or 15? 15.
What's
yeah. The brake? The brake was slightly engaged as they were raising it. That would just cause it to heat up.
And then
when it actually came down, then it stopped. So that when they came to manually lower it, it lowered quickly. I mean, not quickly by, you know, not free fall. But, you know, it's like, it's supposed to be like a minute per foot, and it was like 12 feet and 30 seconds. So significantly faster.
Yeah, pretty fast.
But not the same. The problem last time was the gearbox, which sat in California for like 2 years with a 32-week lead time by the time we finally got the money. This is not the gearbox.
Okay.
So they're just researching
the brake system. Do we have spare parts for that? I doubt it.
Maybe they'll buy two.
Okay.
I hope so. Yeah.
And it's the same. There's a handful of those that are single brake systems, and those are the ones that have failed every time. So. Hopefully it'll be ammunition for us to
push
for dual brakes. So I'll have more. They were pretty pleased actually with the state of things by the end of the day yesterday. They just, you know, they're comfortable to be able to have it raised and in place for spill season. But likely, you know, I think that one ends up being $0.1 of a foot off of the spill pattern initially, so it's pretty darn close.
And was that debris flushing successful? I mean, we don't know until we get a survey. It didn't even happen.
I think that was the first one they raised.
So they just raised it, and then all of a sudden it just. So there's still a bunch of debris on the apron.
Winter maintenance work. Just want an update on what was going on.
Yes, the Dallas provided a sheet of all the winter maintenance work they accomplished this year and maybe what was not accomplished that should have been accomplished. Did Bonneville and John Day also do that? No?
No, the Dallas didn't let us know they were going to do one.
I'm sorry.
Showed them up, didn't you?
I have the color count.
Yeah. We could do it verbally, perhaps.
Well, maybe for the Bradford on the ladder.
Sure.
So everything, that's the one that was most important.
All diffusers down to unit 8 are functional as of today. Okay. We'll go beyond that. Grating was not replaced. It was, I don't know, it's thin. I think if you got out of there and blasted it, you would not have enough to repaint, but
oh wow,
it'll have to be replaced next time.
Yeah.
But the plan is to get in there and do another section like we did this time, do everything inside it, and work our way till we get the whole thing done. I think next time we should likely plan on replacing all that grating. They did a few other things, you know, everything's fixed in there as best they can and functional, including ones that don't technically function, just in case something would change or we have a redundant backup. We got into the FE37 conduit to replace that leak. Again, that thing is over several expansion joints, so they were only able to do the worst one of them, which is basically replace the missing concrete.
Line that's it. Where the boil was coming up there.
Yeah, and we haven't seen it yet. But we haven't run it hard enough, probably, with a few diffusers to see if it's going to be. It usually happens when we have one diffuser open in that conduit. So once we get that one off, it's.
Okay. Well, that's a good note. I mean, those diffusers, if we end up, if something happens and we end up going 4 years before we get in there again, that can be an issue. So I want to make sure that
we discuss a few 2 years from now.
Probably don't want to go 4 years. If it's so bad,
doesn't
that,
sound
if
like
they sandblasted, there's nothing left to paint. That's pretty bad.
Right.
I mean, it was actually better than I thought. It wasn't deflecting the wall or anything, which we've had that before.
Around.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not.
It's just not really something you want to trust for another year or 2 years.
Not really.
4 years. Maybe. 5 years. Yeah. Okay. That's good to know.
And that's about it. Top was, you know, moved some lamprey ramps, took out the wetted wall. That's about it.
Okay, before we continue, we've got a couple people that joined us.
Dave Wills
and
Eric Van Dyke, Oregon.
Anybody else? And anybody join us on the phone who wants to identify themselves? Okay. All right, well, let's move on. Before we go to the next section, we have some kelp counts at Bonneville. Tammy, what are they?
As of yesterday morning, there were 15 steelhead passing that have passed.
And
the corner collector will open on the 17th.
And they've had a couple of days of at least two in a row.
They do have the two consecutive 2 days.
What's the dates on those? Do you know?
No, Spencer didn't tell me which days those were, but we have had that.
So is there
and on top of that,
this happens on the 17th or not?
On top of that, Pacific States was awarded the contract to continue monitoring the separated bar for a year.
Okay.
That, so they're out there, and we are recording with the DVR, and we have two DVRs. One's a live feed, and one's record, or one DVR, and two monitors. One's a live feed, one's recording, and that's working pretty well at this time that the FFU is provided. We're going to try to update the dean's office and his monitor there, which is from like 1970s or 80s.
Yeah, I mean,
thing is, yeah, so hopefully get some upgraded equipment in there for him.
50-inch flat.
I have one more add-on here, and that's John Day's Fish Pump 2. Eric?
All right, so John Day's South Fish Turbine number 2 came back online due in part to a coil failure during the winter maintenance season. The coil was replaced, and we did order 3 more as replacements for each of the other 3 fish turbines. So with that being said, as a heads up, we're going to be trying to coordinate an effort sometime next week for a night outage to deploy the 2 floating ordnances on the north side of the South Collection Channel at John Day.
Okay.
So that's a question. Night outage of the entire AWS from that south ladder.
Yeah, we're looking at a 4-hour night outage after sunset, probably this Friday.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right, great. You want to coordinate it? I mean,
better coordinate it today since Friday you're here.
Yeah, there you go.
Anybody have any issues on the phone with the 4-hour night outage at John Day AWS Friday the what is that?
21st.
Okay. Dave's got no issues. All right. Well,
Eric,
you have any problems with that from the state?
No.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks. Let's move on to research updates. John, Critfic.
FGE. We have a pre-con meeting.
Can you come up a little? So we can hear you? You're such a soft-spoken guy.
Pre-con meeting at Bonneville occurred on Tuesday this week. They're going to do the rebar survey for installation of the flow control plate in 15A on Monday. That's when it's scheduled. So we are on schedule to have the units going to come back April 4th. So it's a good thing we're going to be in 15. You know, we were thinking our timeline would be 13, but we have data in 15 compared to in the past. So this is a good thing. You know, we didn't have an update on the VBS plates to make the solid plate. I was wondering if Ben might know if the riggers have added the solid plate to the VBS.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Not yet. That's like a, I think it's only going to take a couple of days or something. It shouldn't be too much of an issue. The AWS trash rake, we had our agency and district technical review. That's complete. We're going out to do mods sometime this summer, likely. We'd like to follow up with an ROV inspection to check to see how well it's working. And then in the AFF, we're doing a dry inspection of the modifications that we were planning to make on Monday. And then we need to be watered up by the 27th for our velocity testing and operational tests.
What about that PIT tag detector?
Critfic on the phone?
I don't know. Anybody on the phone from Critfic?
Do you know any? Have to give the report.
Critfic, they wanted to build a PIT tag detector for the shallow exit section to the AFF.
Right.
And that was coordinated and approved. I know in discussion with Jeff Fryer, Biomark, was planning to install it the first week of April, which we were planning to water up by the 27th so we could do our velocity work. And plus, we've got fish we need to tag coming up here soon. So I told Fryer if he could have Biomark have that ready to go by the 24th, that's the Monday. That would give us time to install, do interference testing, and stay on schedule. It does not sound like Biomark will be able to make that date. We won't know more for another week, but right now it's unlikely.
So it'll be another year?
Potentially,
okay.
unless Critfic and Bonneville can work something out.
Okay. Well, Jeff's got that message, so hopefully you can get it done.
That's all I have.
All right, thanks. Any questions for John? Is there an RCC update on flows?
Yes.
From Doug, or you have one?
I have one from Doug.
All right.
Oh, man. All right. So Lower Granite, previous day was 111. 5-day forecast, 81. 10-day forecast, 77. For McNary, previous day was 255. 5-day forecast 199 and 10-day forecast 208. Bonneville previous day 301, 5-day 226 and 10-day 228.
And at McNary they're on involuntary spill. Has this been going on for a while? Or?
Yeah, maybe you want to either Bill or Dave, you want to offer an answer for that? Dave looks like he's ready.
I wrote this down here.
Oh, okay.
14 units. Down for rewind. Sunday, we were spilling about 25. Monday about 50. Tuesday, TBL took 4 units out of service to do line work. They're coming back Thursday, so we should be more 50K, 25K. It's kind of odd that TBA took those units out at that time. But.
Okay.
And then I guess a lot of people here, even at the dam, were concerned that that spill is because of Priest and Wanapum. You go look at what Priest and Wanapum do, and they've spilled a little water. They'll spill 20 kids for about 2 or 3 hours, and they go back to being kind of normal. So none of this is because of Priest.
Yeah, so a lot of the watersheds, like the Grand Ron, went up to 25,000. Just
Umatilla's just cranking.
So, and they're on their way back down now, so they went over flood stage. So, yeah, we had a lot of rain on snow type melt.
Units. 6 units?
Yeah, 8 running, 6 out.
Yeah. Small power house to start with.
Bulldoze the model down in Mississippi.
Thank you.
All right. So, Lamprey updates. Nathan?
Right here.
Yeah, what do you got?
Probably the first update was already sent out to the randoms, but the wetted wall that was going to be installed at Bradford Island was removed. Hopefully, because it wasn't designed to what we required. And that had to do with access and our ability to actually check on this thing in season. So we're kind of starting to head down a road that we were in last year with the Lamprey floating structure, where outside people outside the core had built it, designed it, and it worked fine for them, but once you bring it inside, it's over the water, it was in the middle of the fish pond, we couldn't check it. That was a big concern, and it was just different than what we had requested. So we had to remove that, and there's still potential to try to test it a couple other spots, either in the AFF, which is fairly busy this time of year, there's a couple other projects going on there. So there could be a future coordination to try to test it in the Cascade Islands, like the water supply, or somewhere else. So, just a heads up about that. Also, what else is in the works? Reinstalling pumps. So, John Day is the pump designed for the LPS there, and they'll be working at Bonneville to get the pumps back in place for the Lamprey plume structure. What's the third one?
Cascade Island exit mods and LFS pump install.
Right, okay, so the Cascade Island exit mods, they're going to try and drop the angle of that exit pipe there, the white PVC pipe that drops from the Fort Grant Cascade Island. That's scheduled for the 19th. It's going to require a safety boat, so I'll be out there. There's some questions we're hearing already about the possibility for that clearance to maybe not be in place, so that all that work is dependent on the spillway being closed and locked out. So that's kind of a little bit up in the air. But the plan is essentially just to go out there. There's a stanchion that holds that pipe at a certain angle. They want to cut out a section and then drop it down. What they're hoping for is it's going to help their counter out that's above that. The counter didn't operate as planned last season. They're trying to get the fish to move through quicker, which will hopefully help that counter.
We might have just a couple comments. Number one, I think, Dave, you had some written comments that came back to us that got resolved in terms of debris in the Lamprey orifices at Lower Granite, so that was taken care of, I think, a day or two after you made that notice. And Carl, you just want to mention the success or where you're at with your south ladder entrance for Lamprey? That's completed, right, at this point?
It's all finished. It's waiting to be open probably around June 1st. We'll open up the gate. See what happens.
Can we see any of that today, or could maybe just take off?
I can show you the upper part. There's not a whole lot to look at right there, but it's near where we're going to be going anyway.
Okay. We're good. Anything else on Lamprey? Questions? All right. Let's move on to the Avian Task Group's going to meet after the tour today in this room.
Yes.
In this room. 3-7 critical infrastructure, the TDA wire ropes, that shouldn't be on there. However, in John Day, avian wires we talked about, hopefully getting a contract in place for those to be installed.
The TDA wire ropes aren't on there because you fixed them.
I don't think we have any problem with TDA wire ropes. The dowels? We have no problem with the wire ropes. I don't know.
No,
where?
I'm not.
Oh, you're talking about on the spill bay 9 and, oh, the hoist.
Yeah, we're talking about spillway.
Yeah, no.
I wish.
No, that is, it's on our critical infrastructure. It's on our unfunded request. It's,
what other wire ropes are we talking about?
I was thinking that's wire array.
Okay. Sorry. Oh, you're talking Avian. Thinking Avian.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking Avian.
Okay.
No, wire ropes to spill bay 9 and 10.
Right.
10 and 11.
I think that's on
trunnion pin on 9. You know, that's going to be a challenge, and still haven't figured out a way to do it. Prioritize it against spill bays.
Trunnion pin, you've got wire ropes, and you've got a crane you need to fix.
Right.
Actually, we have even more than that.
Oh, great.
On the critical infrastructure list, there is crane replace, like we talked about before, crane rail repair. Gates 1 through 8
I hope
are
it isn't
separate.
Because the rails aren't lined up anymore because there's a crane.
Oh, yeah, I don't think so.
Shift. 25-foot crack.
Gates 1 through 8 because of the fish concern, the spill. And then gates 9 through 23 are a totally separate item. We have other issues as well. Spillway control. We have gate anchor tendons is on the list. That's an issue. They're corroded. Bay 23.
So
does
it help them?
So it's
actually help light a fire under the dowels, metal core for the dowels.
Funds.
Yeah.
Push that back uphill. I mean, there's money somewhere.
Now the big question is with that last data mining on the JSAT. You know, the outside of the wall did not look that bad. I mean, it was just as good outside. Survival outside of the wall was just as good as inside the wall. So,
we need to do some serious mining on that before we even say that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's an issue. Cursory.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fine. Outside the wall, inside makes no difference.
Yeah, right.
So, you're not going to maintain the wall now?
Yeah, we're going to take it out.
Okay. Go ahead. I love the headlines on that one. Core removes $40 million wall after
a war. That's next on the list.
5 years.
No, there's some data that we need to look at and really do some serious mining.
Correctly, you could probably remove it just without spending a dime.
But point being, if this preliminary data holds true that outside of the wall is just as good as inside of the wall, it's not going to help move things along for a fish justification else repairing gate outside of the wall. It'll basically get in line with all the other repairs that need to be done, and there won't be a fish need to bump that out.
Well, I mean, we have to be careful.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the wall, 9, 10, 11, gates weren't open. I mean, that's the thing. There's a whole bunch of caveats to this.
There were small samples.
All that stuff has to be looked at. I mean, there's a reason why we put the wall in the first place.
Yeah. Right.
It was poor survival from those bays outside of bay 6.
Right.
A lot of us might have went through during a very high flow scenario. Took the TSW out.
Which would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? When you have a higher flow scenario, you got a higher tail race, and so there's a better buffer water-wise.
2011 was the high flow year. In fact, it was the subreeling test was shut down in 2011. So the spraying test was
good.
And then 2012, they came back in and did the subreeling test.
However, the priority is still the same. Nothing has changed. Trunnion pin replacement or 9-10 or 10-11 wire rope repair is still high priority in the fish world.
Well, I mean, if that's changing somewhere, then we need to have a pretty sit down and talk about it.
No, it's not changing as of today or tomorrow or next year. Hopefully we can get the funds and do something. You know, you got the parts sitting there.
You've also got a performance standard study that was done a certain way.
Right.
And to say now we're just going to throw it out. And I would say, no, you're going to do it again. You're going to test again before you throw out the operations that you had when you tested for those standards.
And what's the cost of that study? You know, can you just get that trunnion pin installed and not do the study instead?
Because of
color of money,
in
though, there.
Way, outside of the wall looked as good as inside. Would mean that we should not be opening 9, 10, and 11.
Well, but you did run most of your fish through those routes. That was the thing. I mean, I'd want to look at that.
Right.
That one, that last year, of subreeling makeup testing, that year, when they looked at the block of 9, 10, 11, 12 bays, only 12 was not last year. That was when we had the hideous eddy around 9, 10, 11.
Right.
So, anyways.
Right. I mean, does that make sense?
No.
It doesn't, but it's there.
Right. Yeah. So, but I mean, it doesn't make sense. And that wasn't the way we intended to run. And if you want to run it that way, you'd have to test it that way with the intention of keeping it. Was it that way?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So we need a valid test with all the bays actually running
I don't know during the performance test which bays were open at that time. But
nine
was?
9, 10, and 11. During that last year, during 2010.
No, performance test.
Performance testing and 2011 spring performance testing. 9 was operational. 10 and 11 were not. During the 12, that's when 9 was taken out for the trunnion bin. So during the 12 subyearling, 9, 10, 11 were not.
We're gonna, it's the sort of thing that you'd want to have to look at the duration and how many fish went through it. And if you're talking about now just, you know, not fixing this and letting it run that way constantly, then that would be an issue, I think.
Well, that is not what we're planning on doing.
Yeah. Why did it flies in the face of what you planned on doing?
Right.
That's why you built the wall.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm just saying those hard questions might be asked when it comes to that time.
Well, I mean, the hard question I would have is, why would you have a spillway with broken spill gates in the first place? Why'd you put that many bay or gates in there in the first place if you didn't need them? Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. You've got a facility that's a pretty important facility in the region, and you just let it fall apart.
It's just a matter of figuring out the priority. Does this gate need to be repaired before this other
And it's not like we're letting them fall apart. We're trying our best.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah, I know.
The years are going by, and we know that we've got.
The crane's
a participant has left the conference.
Crane's a higher priority right now, funding wise, for the project, for the Fish and Wildlife Program, the crane, and the spill base, 9, 10, 11.
And one of the first things that is needed, too, is just an overall assessment of all the spillways just to see where we rank, because we're not the only dam in the river with a spillway.
No.
So.
Bonneville.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But what percentage of the fish that go through the Dalles go through the spillway?
80.
Yeah. It's pretty important. It is your fish passage
route. Right.
Yep.
So it's pretty important.
80%. All right, that leads us to BPA updates. Scott, you joined us just in time. Okay. No updates.
Nothing to bring to the group.
That's
just
more
a bunch
like
of super
it.
Stuff.
Some coordination forms that we need to discuss and approve. The first one is the Dalles East Deck work. I don't have a copy of it. What is it? Sorry, I was a little under the weather yesterday.
Falling apart, big cracks, leakages.
Yeah.
Basically, what we have is at the east fish ladder exit, there is leakage in the deck, the four bay deck. It gets down into the gallery, and it just so happens right under that, in that gallery, is all of our electrical equipment that runs all those weirs, so it's imperative that we get this fixed. It's been leaking for quite a while, and they have some rinky-dink gutter system converting the water around, but it's getting to the point where it's got to be taken care of. They were hoping to get this done in February to actually just do some cutting on the expansion joints on our roadway deck right there, but the weather was not allowing that. Put a bit of snow on it. Recently, and they basically want out in March. And of those two expansion joints, one is within the 100-foot fish passage plan distance from the exit. And it's about 50 foot, a little under 50 foot. That's the arbitrary number of 50 foot.
Unscientifically proven.
Yeah, nice comment there, Gary.
Did I give you a good response back on that? Are you okay?
Lack of scientific justification.
I love it.
You know, kind of goes with the rinky-dink gutter system.
No problem reading through that thing. No problem, no problem, no problem. Poking the eye.
I saw a perfect opportunity. I had to go for it.
And then there was, I knew you would have to. You never let those go by, do you?
No. But, I mean, really, the question was, what are the expected fish impacts? I have no clue. I have no idea.
Well, you filled out three paragraphs on bull trout. All for all, how many? Two, three?
That's a canned bull trout.
You got a good treatment here. Read that.
Yeah.
It's all for you.
That is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's not so. But then there wasn't anything on salmon. Zero.
One sentence.
What? That there was no scientific
justification.
I just love that. It's like, okay, this one's good, this one's good. No, it's not.
No, I can't take clam to bull trout paragraphs. That was in there. Right?
Never mind that it was, we saw it on the day that it was supposed to start.
But, so I guess now, I mean, now the question is in the coordination forms where it says what are the expected fish passage impacts,
right.
Should we just be putting in, well, this is how many fish are passing, because we have no idea what the
That's
all we know. Is
what I would do is, what kind of sound are you talking about? How much noise do you think it's going to be? You've got how many fish are there? I mean, 40, 50, 30, whatever steelhead are passing a day. Judge how much noise you're going to be creating. You've been out, you've been there a long time. You know what could cause a problem, and you know how far away that entrance is. You know what kind of sound buffers there might be, that sort of thing. But and plus, then what I would say is, okay, well, there could be some noise that could affect steelhead, but we're going to do this on an off-peak hour, time of the day when you've got a low number of fish going by, and we think it's pretty minimal.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then
that's good, but you're not going to get a number. No. You're not going to get that this is going to cause delayed mortality effects or something. You'll never get that.
No.
I mean, that would take all the fish in the river and do that. So I think it's a judgment call.
So my thought was, too, when we do start cutting. In fact, when we start cutting the expansion joint that is outside of this 100-foot limit, we're going to watch the count station. If we see fish darting back through, then we've got a problem.
Yeah, there's your plan.
I don't think you will. I mean, like I said, those sort of distances are, kind of worst case.
Yeah.
It's just a comfort zone where if you are inside of that, then you come and talk about it.
Right.
You have a chance to hear what you have to say. And it's, if you're going to blow up concrete or jackhammer the hell out of it, then that's one thing. But if you're in there with the power, which probably is pretty, they're noisy, but they're kind of constant.
High frequency
noise,
and then a little bit of jackhammer just to get the pieces out. But they're small pieces, they're like 1 foot by 3 foot section.
You're talking 4 hours in a 24-hour day. You're talking about doing it at a time of day when it's probably not the worst. So, judgment call.
Yeah. So we got thumbs up.
Give you something to agree with.
Yeah.
So what equipment are you going to use to this?
Concrete saw and jackhammer.
Yeah, they'll just
pretty
cut
isolated.
A couple sticks of dynamite.
Yeah, they'll just cut a couple sections on the deck, and then to break them loose, they may have to jackhammer a little bit just to break those blocks up.
So they're gonna fill that in with tar.
The old crane rail, or not crane rails, an old track that goes through there. They're just gonna torch that out.
And then they're gonna asphalt that whole thing.
Yeah, they're gonna seal the whole void and then go over it with asphalt.
Any other questions for Bob? Okay, good.
So we got thumbs up on it.
That's why we have those diagonal fish passage graphs.
Let me make it clear, just in case there's some concerns, since you did put a whole bunch of bull trout stuff in.
Bull what? Bunch of bull what?
I can't
I can't say there will be no effect. And so I'm not giving a thumbs up to that. There's no effect.
Yeah. We're not saying that.
Okay.
We're just asking to go ahead and do the cutout and monitor passage, and if there's an issue, we will stop.
Okay. That works. Yeah. As a reminder, again, we're a little bit different situation than NOAA Fisheries.
You got a Section 7.
They built in consultation into their biop, our old biop, which supposedly is going to get redone someday.
Will, you're new. I guess that was discussed that your new might do something similar. Do you anticipate that the new will?
I'm so far out of that loop.
Well, they're writing the biological assessment to cover that kind of stuff.
Okay.
The expectation is you will.
Biological assessment coming for 2 years.
I know. Well, it got kind of sidetracked there.
I understand. But
it's coming. I can only say that. I know that I'm funding somebody to work on it, and they are working on it. So they meet weekly. They had a big discussion talking about what the path forward is. The plan is to include some other consultation for sturgeon, I believe. So have one big sturgeon Libby ops, as well as bull trout included, because that bull trout expires next year for Libby. So
sturgeon.
And sturgeon. So it's coming.
It got a kick start after the NIPS buyout came out. They got restarted on it.
I mean, I got plenty to do, and that's okay.
I understand.
There's no expectations that this somehow covers compensation.
Okay. So are you okay with the plan forward on cutting out that and monitoring passage?
I personally am, but okay. Like I said, I can't tell you that there's going to be no effect.
Right.
I'm not giving you an official opinion that there's going to be no effect.
And that issue really applies to every coordination that comes down the line.
Yeah.
Every one.
Yeah.
Not just this. Just because they put
bone shot at it. Yeah. Okay.
So if the Corps decides there's no effect, then they need to write that down and put it in the coordination.
I was thinking about that. If you did that, then what do you do?
You want us to rewrite it and put no effect in there?
Step out there on that limb.
I mean, that's fine.
Offering you,
I can't say there's going to be no effect. I can't say that.
And don't write it.
Okay.
That's why I didn't write
those three paragraphs?
That's why I wrote unknown.
Why didn't you just put salmon?
Salmonids.
No, not salmonids. Okay. Salmon.
When was the date for these?
Tomorrow.
Before March 11th?
Tomorrow. It'll probably be next
so
week.
So we have March
11th. Any other discussion on this? All right, let's go to the next one. The next one is variable width weir repair at the John Day. We coordinated that and got approval. However, there's been a little bit of a change that Eric's here to talk about.
Recent development since yesterday. Originally, we had planned for a day outage at John Day Dam to replace the plate on the variable width weir over at the north entrance. But we had a pump failure on our pump 4 lubrication pump. So that kind of throws the model that Steve Schlanker had put together for us on the entrance conditions. So what we'd like to do now is just go ahead with our previous outage request for a night outage this Friday.
So it's pump 4. This is one of the new.
This is no longer new pumps.
So we got it was a lubrication pump outage on it.
I'm confused.
Has joined the conference.
It must have been Russ. Hey, Russ, welcome.
You got it right, Bernard.
Yeah, well.
I was trying to figure out Tammy's last email. I was like, holy cow, I don't know what time it is.
At least you didn't go somewhere where you didn't.
Right. Well, we're about halfway to almost the end. Actually, we're at coordination forms number 4 on the agenda, talking about John Day variable width weir. Thanks for joining.
Okay, so now the plan is to do this at night.
Correct. Yes.
Friday.
Friday. Friday night.
Is that Friday? Like
overtime?
It is overtime.
All that
it's
stuff.
Overtime, man.
And what is the effect on the flow with that outage? I mean, are we talking a significant difference, or are we talking a small difference in flow? You've got what? It's like 6 pumps over there.
We have 4 available.
Four available. Now 3 available.
Now 3 available.
Now 3. Okay. And what kind of flow do we think we can get out of 3 pumps? Trying to keep you from working overtime and somebody falling in the river at night or something.
Well, looking at the RCC update, if the flow is going to be dropping, then the tailwater should be dropping at John Day. So that might actually put us pretty close right here from looking at the model at Steven. Because we're at about 163 over on the north yesterday.
Okay.
Or yesterday. So with 3 pumps,
you're going to have a down to 1300?
3 pumps.
You'd be down to 1395
right there, with a tailwater of 161.
I don't see a problem. If I were you, I would be able to get that in the daytime.
I think many people there would appreciate
that. I think I recommend it start at like sometime early in the morning.
Yes, pull it early in the morning and reinstall it late at night.
Data, the data for entrance passing or entrance times showed pretty low up until about 0700, I think, or maybe 0800. So somewhere in that time frame is when I would say start and get it out until the afternoon hours, late afternoon. As late as you can do it and still not put people on overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it matters.
Is that going to work?
That should work great, yeah.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
That's what I say. All the rest of the reps have to say something, but I'd say I'd rather not have somebody take a chance on getting hurt.
Right now, I was very concerned about doing that night because they've only lifted that weir out once before.
So this is just moving it from nighttime to daytime,
right,
getting the work done, and bringing it back into criteria as soon as we can after you put the weir in.
I don't see a lot of effect there. I mean, as long as there's flow going in the ladder, fish can enter, the problem's going to be the time when you're out there banging around and pulling stuff out, but that's fairly fast. I assume that takes, what, an hour? Or less?
Yeah. 20 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what did you say? The pump failed when you tried to test it?
While it was running, the lubrication pump failed. The lubrication system was having a problem. We found out that the pump itself had failed. So we were able to save it. From what I heard from our maintenance department, it was actually supposed to be repaired by today, hopefully. But it wasn't repaired at 9 o'clock this morning when I called.
I would just get it done. Heater done, it's important.
Yeah, since you only connect one other time, probably would be prudent to do it during the day. And if you can get it done early and finally go through this, it looks like this has come through the room a couple of times.
Yeah,
I have to go over these.
Yeah, I see at least now.
I wasn't sure what we're doing it after the last meeting, so those were the ones that were coming or not approved, but this one's a new one that needs to be
discussed.
Okay. We good? Anybody oppose this operation in the daytime? Okay.
Health and human safety.
Yes. Indeed.
Minimal impact.
All right, well, get her done. Thanks. This moves to number 5, which is the fish passage plan. I know there's a bunch of hard copies. I think Lisa mailed a bunch.
Yeah,
Oh, she has them right
big,
there.
Box
you want to talk to your fish passage?
Assume that box cookies.
That's right. Yeah, so for
peanut butter chest
today, got hard copies on the projects and research should have gotten them delivered via FedEx. And of course, there's already been one. This is a living document, so as updates come in and changes happen, that'll just be posted to the website. But this is what we've got for right now. So. And I'll just wait till the end of the meeting to hand them out, unless somebody really wants to get their hands on. I can see Dave over there.
Dave's like itching for that.
Dave's
all right. Well, thanks, Lisa. Great job putting that together.
Yeah, getting it out earlier. Thank you. I think the projects have them in their hands now before they go to water up, et cetera.
It's just that tight timeline between the February FCOM meeting and the deadline. So hopefully next year we'll be able to do it soon.
All right. Any questions on the fish passage plan? And we've got some change forms that are out there for review. One of them is new, which is the adult spill at Granite.
Yes.
That is added on here. You want to talk about that one?
I think NIMS wants to lead that. I know Bill's on the phone. He mentioned that Gary's here. Basically, this is a change form to try to get ahead of the potential for another warm water event and have a plan written down at Lower Granite. So NIMS has three alternatives that they've proposed. And I think they wanted, I think we should let them maybe talk about this rather than myself. We have maybe a couple places where we'll comment just after a quick review. This can be sent out to the group after this preliminary discussion for further review. It's just meant to get discussion initiated here early on.
Right. Bill, do you want to carry that?
Yeah, I'll start it, Gary. I'm here. This is a recommendation of some spill changes if anyone notices that there's an adult delay or blockage, adults are stacking up in the tail race. So it is, it's on the assumption that we can, by altering the spill pattern, that we can alter the hydraulic conditions over in front of the adult passage entrance at the powerhouse, which is the main entrance in use during the spring and summer at Lower Granite. So we can make that entrance more effective for adults finding it if we can avoid having an upstream eddy over there. And to avoid that eddy, we either change to a uniform spill pattern, which would be the first alternative to test, given the possibility of an adult blockage occurring. The first alternative is to close the RSW where the majority of spill is occurring, that's 7K, and spread that spill out over the other bays to a uniform pattern and see if we get a response from the adults with that. Now, if that doesn't produce a passage result, then we shift to a little bigger change to the spillway, and we close the RSW, but we don't spread that 7K out. We just move that additional flow over to the powerhouse to try to operate Unit 1 and see if that produces a response. And then that spill that's reduced during those 6 hours in the morning is made up over the remaining 18 hours of the day. The third alternative, again, it's all of these are just for 6 hours from 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. in the morning. Third alternative is to
you just cut out, Bill. Bill, you just cut out. What's the third alternative?
No, I'm sorry. I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah, I fell asleep while I was talking.
Yeah. I always thought you were a narcoleptic.
Well, okay. Cut to the chase here. There's three alternative operations, and each one has a little more of a change to the spill program there. All of them are just for 6 hours in the morning, and if spill is decreased, you make up the spill over the 18 hours remaining of the day. So there's that alteration on the, with the spillway, and also there's a priority placed on unit one, unit two at the powerhouse.
So I guess we had this sent to us about 2 days ago, and the main comments just to pass along were that it seems like rather than just have it pretty loose about, you know, somebody sees something as the trigger, that we might want to have kind of triggers established for what's a concern ahead of time based on, you know, what's a normal run passage and timing, as well as also maybe lay out, you know, what's enough of alternate one before you'd consider going to alternative two. So would like a 2 day interval be what you'd want to look at, or whatever?
I mean, as a test.
Yeah, so you're saying if it's unsuccessful, but you're leaving it really unquantified, and so we're kind of thinking that as this gets developed, that we need to add in some of that quantification. So I think those would be, as we send this out, we'll probably send comments like that in. And
what was number three?
Number three basically shifts a larger percent of the spill over to the south powerhouse to try
it. You'll like it.
Yeah, so I'll read it. At 5 a.m., close all spillways, including the RSW and training spill, and increase flow to the south powerhouse units at a similar volume. Restore the RSW and training spill at 11 a.m., and incrementally over the remaining 18 hours, make up the spill volume lost for the six-hour period. So as Bill said, he started out with one that was just shut the RSW in bay one and go to a uniform pattern. If that didn't work, he went to a second alternative and took instead of having a uniform pattern, he took the flow that the other, by closing the RSW you would have, moved that over to the powerhouse south units to try to beef up the availability for unit one. And then,
so you're only reducing spill on that one. You're just reducing spill about around a half. And then on the third one, you're shutting all spillway.
Is this just July and August?
This is...
Yeah.
Yeah, this would just be if we had an issue.
We're not sure, Scott, when... if we had the tail race model ready to look at, we could figure out at what flow those reverse eddies start forming. But that's not available yet, so... This is going to have to be triggered on what happens to adults, what we can see is happening to adult counts. But I would tend to think that you know, as you come down in flow, your percentage of spill increases, and at some point you start getting that the energy in the tail race to set up that powerhouse upstream eddy.
As you lose those two, you know, as you get down to one powerhouse unit or two units, that's where you have a problem. So it's going to be those late season sort of situations.
It's going to be in the early season. There's none of it in the early season.
No, you're not going to see that when there's a lot of flow.
It's going to be about 40K or so when you probably start doing this. You start having the spill dominance or whatever on the eddy. So
yeah.
You start seeing it 50.
That's when you get a 50-50 spill powerhouse split.
Along the same line of you getting this out early, I guess we also thought that maybe as part of this we might want to add in a trigger for the auxiliary pumps being turned on, so maybe a temperature in the fishway.
A participant
for like say two
conference.
Or 3 days, we are bumping over 68 degrees for more than like say a 4 hour period midday, because a lot of times we have that through the summer even when we don't have a low flow year. So we need some more discussion on that.
Differential maybe, or would it be the absolute?
we're thinking that we may want to, since we're trying to get ahead of things, have that discussed and talked about in here too. So.
Yeah, that's a good point, and we could include that too. And
okay. And since we did have a chance to look at it, Chris, you're here. I don't know, do you want to mention just the number of fish that we possibly thought we'd throw out, or do you just want to have those as comments go out with this? But basically, that, you know, last year there was two species. It was sockeye and false Chinook, kind of thinking that we might have a different quantifiable number for each of those based on passage, some sort of relationship at Little Goose, and formulate our triggers that way. So these are all things. I think this is the initial discussion. It's plenty early in the year. I think it's great that you guys are bringing this to the table. Really appreciate it. And so either the intent now would be that we'll disseminate it out to the FPOM group, ask for comments, and then maybe at the next meeting, unless something comes up ahead of time, we would plan to have further discussion on this? Or were you trying to, I guess you guys have a, yes.
Well, that sounds good, Ann. Why don't we, before we send it out to everyone, why don't you and I and Chris Penny put in there something for these triggers.
Okay.
And for both a note of how long we stay with one of the alternatives before we pass on to the next one, and also
what triggers
an alternative spill, what adult counts. Put those in and put in the differential for the temperature for turning on the pumps, and then get it out to everyone for another review.
Okay. Yeah, we're actually fairly close on that, so we'll try to get that out to you in the next few days, and then early next week, other folks get a chance to look at it. Ryan had some data associated with this. I think he had a chance after we had a preliminary look at that, and he was thinking that he would share a little information just ahead of time for people's reference as well. So do you want to do that right now, Ryan?
Sure. And Bill, I apologize. I didn't get you an electronic copy of this, but I did break out several river flow conditions.
Good, Ryan.
Varying from like 55 in the river down to 20 in the river.
Uh-huh.
So I think I have 10 copies I handed out to a couple people here.
Bring you a copy.
So each one of those then identifies like what our base condition would be, identifying Unit 2 and Unit 3 in operation with 18K spill, and then how would we treat that for each one of these alternatives. So that basically showing shutting down the RSW and then going to a Unit 1 operation, and what does that mean? Total river flow then, and what does that mean to the pool elevation? Are you impacting the pool elevation at that time? So I kind of ran through those scenarios so that everybody should be able to kind of get a feel for what we're doing with that. These are just examples, not definitives by any means. So I see BPA actually having a lot more weigh in on how they actually operate for pool increasing and decreasing and unit run. But,
we'll need a much finer scale than 10 and 15.
Oh, yeah. These are just examples. So just kind of give people a feel for what we're talking about for these different alternatives.
So I think the reminder there is that it's kind of the 18 to 19K to run unit one during low flows. So that'll be what we'll be managing around.
About the same as the summer spill flow.
Yep.
You should be able to look at the fish counts from last season when you detect them. You should help probably develop your initial trigger.
Right.
You already had this happen once. You can look at historic fish counts from last season to help you develop your first trigger and recognize there might be an issue.
Yeah, and I don't know if, actually the initial response trigger last year was Russ Kiefer and the way he was monitoring. Russ, since you're on the phone, do you want to suggest you were like a day or two from when the event started, I think that Friday that your initial call came to me. Do you want to outline what your process was as something for us to consider writing up as a trigger, or you want to wait until we have that disseminated out and just put it in writing?
Well, one is, I'm a little bit different than a lot of folks. It's just one of those is that I am generally loath to try to come up with a trigger to identify a problem ahead of time. It's hard to capture everything. and we can end up, you know, not moving when we should or moving when we really don't need to. And my preference is, one, I appreciate Bill and Noah's efforts to come up with options that we can discuss if we see a problem that we can consider implementing, and trying to figure out those ahead of time that are the best match for juveniles and adult passage, but trying to come up with a definitive trigger on when we would implement those, I'm a little leery to get into.
Well, I mean,
and I understand the court prefers triggers. I understand that.
Well, this is a document that's open out there. It's just you know what happens if you're prepared and you think you're likely to be hitting something that people want to talk about. I mean, you called on as I recall, it was like a Friday morning at 10:30, Russ.
How do you decide you want to talk about it?
And you had some criteria that you used to make that call and kind of light a fire. So I think that's what we're asking is, what is it that the agencies consider something that we need to start having some discussions or be prepared to take action on?
I heard that, Gary. The mic's pretty good there.
Light your fire.
Last year there
activity. All right.
Speaking loudly, the mic picks it up, guys.
All right. I'll circle back around with you, Russ, once we get this out and see if there's some language.
I just saw an email, and I might have to run and deal with the Lomo spill proposal stuff.
Okay, fine.
So I might be out when you check back in on another item, because I just saw an email, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, this will be written, and we'll plan for further discussion from all of the agencies at the next FPOM meeting on this. We'll put it out for written comment. Thank you.
Hey, and Tom Lawrence, are you guys going to also give us an update on what plans, if any, you have, if you guys are going to even be able to do anything this coming year anyways, or did you talk about that yet?
We didn't talk about that yet. I think we talked about that. Is it okay to go into this right now, Vern? Are you good with that?
Since it's Tom and
since it's Tom
hijacking agenda, yeah, it's fine.
Appreciate it. That never happened.
Yeah.
Tom the lurker.
This has been worked through a number of forums, Tom, and you have been part of working that through a number of forums. So we've had discussions ongoing at FPOM, and you took it to SCT. I believe there was some discussion at Fitterwig. It was the plan forward, as I understand it, is we had the pumps looked at. To my awareness, for 2014, we will have the options available that we had last year, just to keep it short and simple. That said, there will be activities with Fitterwig going through, working through alternatives. A pump replacement plan will also be covered. These are things that are being worked are just starting to be worked, so I believe Randy is initiating those through CRIFM, and that there's a PDT that Mark Smith will be the project manager on that will be getting kicked off to start working on that path forward, what can be done short-term, what can be done long-term. But we don't anticipate any on-the-ground changes to our layout for what we can offer for mitigation this year to be any different than what we had last year. Hence the discussion before about do we want to have some sort of a temperature threshold that we identify as to when we would kick on the auxiliary water pumps at the top end of the ladder.
No, I understood that part. No, I just had to get verification because at the last SCT meeting I had heard that there was some rumbling about trying to get a PDT team together, because I had to have a policy discussion with my people and they were mighty curious as to why this was not deemed a higher priority and not anything more was getting done this year. So I'm sure there will be some other discussions being had with other people about this one.
Yes, I recall you making a pretty clear statement. I actually was able to go to the last Fitterwig, and I recall that you had a strong statement at that forum as well. And, you know, I'm hearing you. We can take that back. I believe that I'm also aware that it is starting to appear in some other forums, potentially as soon as tomorrow. So, you know, we will be listening. You know, I think you're aware that you have taken this to our division, and I believe that some of your individual tribes are taking this to our commander.
Likely.
And, you know, I believe that Randy Chong worked with kind of the district senior leadership to see what could get accomplished this year, and this was the best he could do in terms of a plan. So we'll have to see if there's any flexibility out there with the folks at the senior level to make any changes and, you know, find anything that was perhaps could be compressed to allow something more to take place. But at this point in time, you know, I think they are hoping to get a contract award just to do an interim short-term fix at the beginning of 2014.
So you mean 2015? We're at the beginning of 2014 right now.
Yeah, sorry. So, yes, I did. I meant FY15. So, like, okay. October of 2014, I think is when they hope to try to get a contract award to possibly do some pump replacement and a little bit of the prototype lowering of the intake that Ryan has discussed.
So we are.
That's good. I just want to make sure I had the right message when I'm telling my policy people. So.
And there is a special Fitterwig meeting March 20th where we'll be going over the front end of that. So we're looking at criteria, what the region agencies want to make sure that they hold for improvements there.
So, yeah, I saw that on the SCT agenda. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Good.
Hey, I got Ann and Ryan. One more comment. Is and I guess it's to Ryan. Ryan, with the tail race investigation that we did last year, to determine downstream velocity during different flows for the outfall siting, could that be used to look at that question of when at what river flows that you start developing the upstream eddy?
Yeah, I think so. I think with the transects that were collected with the ADCP data, is that what you're referring?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
That information does, I think that first transect does give you some pretty clear information on when you can start seeing that eddy develop.
Okay, well, we could use that information, couldn't we?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, that starts at the BRZ, so you don't see that much in the mid in. Immediate tail race.
Oh, right.
But
yeah.
We do have videos of it.
Yeah.
And so the videos are pretty strong. We used that to kind of capture what happened kind of last year. Right. And because we went to the 5K powerhouse for roof repair and stuff, and that was tested. So
yeah.
When we first saw the first drop in sockeye, then the distribution went back up for a week or so. Then the temperatures hit, and we had the biggest drop in sockeye. So yeah, I mean, those have been considered, and we can show those around as well. So
yeah, this Tom Waters, if you could disseminate that information, that'd be great.
Sure.
And those are at, I think, river discharges of 30K and 55K, I think, were the two.
Well, it's a good question. It's up at 55K. That would be worth knowing. Because then we're a little more prepared for it as river flows drop, summer conditions develop. If we know that it sets up with the upstream eddy at 55K.
So this sounds like something that, as you have your special Fitterwig, likely will flow into that agenda as well. This gives them a week to prepare a little bit more for some of the questions you guys have.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bill. So, task group updates. The avian task group is going to meet here afterwards, and the AFF was done by John. There is no sea lion task group update, but we're starting to see some more individuals, right?
What do we got? California started to show up.
Californians are showing up, so Somebody say my name.
Amazing bird.
Yeah, that's me. Hey, now that Tom's on the phone, you might want to talk about his intact.
Tom, John gave an update on the AFF, the pit tag antenna. Do you have anything as far as schedule? We're kind of getting tied up against the deadline on getting that installed for the pit tag detector. You know anything? Lors?
Well, let's see. Talking to Biomark, they thought they could be ready March 31st, maybe April 1st. The only issue there was that we need to dewater the AFF again. Talking to my guys doing the trap stuff, that doesn't impact their trap abilities or anything like that. So the question is, can that be done? We could wait 3 days before we want to do this and then ask you guys, since that seems to be the going concern on when to do things nowadays.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you no. And you need to get that thing in by, what, the 24th?
24th, 25th,
26th. 26th is your deadline, so can you make that happen? Thanks.
I don't know. Well, let's talk to Biomark. We can push them. I'm just curious, what's the pushback? Why couldn't we dewater April 1st?
We don't want to dewater again. Water back up and dewater again.
The project isn't going to support that. So you need to talk with the project and your people. Okay. Right now, it's the 27th is your deadline.
26th, 27th. All right, I'll talk to him. I'm just curious why we're suddenly can't do water, but there you go.
It has 3 years to get it in there. I think you can find a little better.
All right. You heard it. Anything else there?
No.
Okay, so before we wrap up, there's a couple add-ons. I know, Dave Wills, you want to say something about the FOP?
Yeah, I can initiate that, and then we got Dave
then
Coleman.
Dave Coleman wants to talk as well, but okay. What is...
Well, I hadn't reviewed the font until the other day, and I typically look at the old one and the new one side by side and see quickly if there's some big changes. The biggest change I saw was in Table 1, and I just don't understand why the changes were made and what it's actually referring to. I'm just a little confused. I need some help in understanding what that is.
Table 1.
It's the mid-generation. What was happening was they were tripping off. They were going over my attempt when the actual unit operation was sitting in, and it would send a violation. So we'd have to send a violation notice to the court. So they're asking true up what was really happening.
Fred Murphy has left the conference.
So that those violations wouldn't occur. So we should change the FPP to match up with the units.
Well, okay.
So that helps with your question, why doesn't it any longer match with the FPP? Because this has been done since the FPP. Just, I guess, in the last week or so, you're not looking like you're familiar with this FOP change. That's fine. Bottom line is Scott was a little bit familiar. I tried to find out some more information from Dan File. He basically said that that the final FOP would be out the last week of March, and that this version that you're referring to had been released through REOG, and that the appropriate forum to ask questions about it would be back through REOG. So I didn't really get a very technical, and I asked Scott about it, and I think Scott's tried to give you the real time here, but okay. I was not successful. I don't have a copy of it still. I was not successful getting anything other than that kind of a response, so it is what it is.
Okay.
All right. In our last topic, Dave Coleman, who is the operating project manager here at McNary, is asked to speak about
nothing really.
Nothing. Just welcome us.
For the last 2 years, I've told Ann I should go to one of these meetings, so I've been trying to do that, and lo and behold, it came to McNary. I don't know, one or two of all your time, but I just kind of think my challenge is the same as anyone else, just the pure money. And so it's always a challenge. I think you guys talked about fish pump two here. I took me about a year and a half. 2 years to get that money here. You know, so. Try. We're trying to spend time and invest some time in doing things, documenting our assets, our fishways, where the money is, and try and educate people. Even my food chain at times don't understand when we talk to them about a certain component of the fishway. If it goes south, what the impacts are of that. And just a little bit about debris. I mean, amazing. Yesterday, I would have said there's no debris in the forebay, and we have a tidal wave of tumbleweeds coming at us as we speak. So we were scheduled to rake Monday. And then I've never had enough time, but I mean, it's a little odd that McNary's TSW goes on, I think, a week or two after the snakes go on. So we're gathering all the Snake River trash for 2 weeks. And then we turn our TSWs off early than anyone else, and then we gather all the snakes debris for 2 or 3 weeks. So it'd be nice to somehow sink all that, but not today.
We can talk about
that. That's all I really got. I mean, we're going down the collection channel, powerhouse collection channel.
Yeah,
north sluice way.
In the north sluice way. So right. The channel you're going in, where all the dewatering takes place. There's an engineering team writing a report this year. We're putting in the FY16 budget, trying to get that rehab. It's been in service about 10, 15 years. 15 years. And I've been here 25 years. If you ever have a question on the area, give me a call. I might need one answer.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. So Dave was instrumental in getting the funding to fix Fish Pump 2 that's been out now for a couple years. It's still another year before it's actually going to be fixed, but that was a huge expense, and has been supportive over the last year of starting to take a hard look at the adult fishways. I think we talked a little bit at the last meeting about some of the things that happened on site this year, and they continue to look a little bit harder, which is helping us to identify places that we are going to need to put funds in the future, so that we're getting a little bit ahead of it. What he referred to a minute ago is that they're getting scoped the JFF, a place where we've had really poor reliability the last 2 years with those dewatering screen cleaners. So we're hoping that for FY16 that we could get some funds to go in and do a rehab on that and regain some of the reliability for that collection channel.
Great. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. There have been a couple of issues. One is the South Shore screens. The report's out on that. I don't know if anybody else reviewed that, the fishing agencies or not, but that was, I think, comments were due Monday, I believe, on that one. So I sent in a day late about 4 pages of comments on that report. That's going to be a decision coming up as to whether we retain the current screens or move to a Fry criteria screen system there. And there were those reports from Russ Morrison were supposed to address the fish impact issues. And so that's something McNary issue that needs to be discussed in the near future.
Yeah, that what he's referring to is the intake screens on the top end of the Oregon ladder that were replaced in kind back when Tim Dykstra was here. And then there's been 2 years of studies, not two consecutive years, and that there's a report out. And I guess I need an update on that. I'm not sure that I've been totally briefed on what the issue is to date, because I'm not aware that we had any large number of salmonids or lamprey being impinged on those screens.
Well,
yeah, there were no salmonids or lamprey. What was impinged were the very small shad, basically. We think they're shad.
Well, I like the way he put them in the report. They thought they might be shad. I don't know what.
I know they're not. I assume myself.
Yeah. Well, I know.
Well, I mean, I know they're not salmonids, let's put it that way.
We can talk about that. But, I mean, it's our NIPS criteria, it's pump, or it's an intake in the Columbia River, should be meeting the criteria. We have to establish that there are really no fish there to be impinged or hurt by it or even exposed to it.
Yeah, the NIPS criteria is mainly aimed at like chum fry and even pink fry that could be coming down the pipe, because we know that chum and pink get past McNary. I've seen them, And the question is, if you get a little chum coming down the river like this, what's going to happen to him when he gets around the stream? That's right. A good question.
Where's chum coming?
We don't have chum up here.
There's pink above here once in a while. Maybe false
chum fry.
It's just their fry criteria.
Well,
the other issue that I would like to talk about is the TSW operation for debris. I mean, if that's an issue, you guys think you need some operation of TSW outside the season? I'm sure Scott would be.
We got the new
to do that early.
I would love to talk about that.
I'm
sure
we'll want to talk about it later after we normally close it in June.
So. Yeah, we've got the new change in now, of course, which enables us to do pretty much the way we'd like to be able to do it. And if anybody of you have to go up on the deck, you'll see two things today. You'll see a ton of debris, and Dave's right, yesterday there was hardly any, although we were starting to get differentials up to 2.5. We took a differential reading, trash rack differential reading yesterday, and a bunch of 2.5. So we're scheduled to start in there on Monday raking, and we're probably going to rake it all week, I suspect, at least. And also, if you're up there, they're dropping steelhead down 12A
right
now as we speak. You know, so but if you do happen to go over there, kind of give them a little room, because those guys are awful busy.
This is like the last day, isn't it?
Yeah. This is it. They're dropping 57 down today, I think.
So, I mean, we've already talked about running that TSW all summer long, but certainly for periods, it's possible.
The TSW, it actually isn't open right now, but we're going to have to open it probably if we may try to rake this debris down. We've got to give the notifications if we do that, but we'll open the TSW for that.
Okay. All I'm saying is if you want to talk about it. Yeah.
Well, what we might want to frame it as is not exactly how you laid it out, but maybe the ability for some alternative operations when you have debris starting to build up, how it might react.
What I wanted to say is thank you for figuring out how to use the crane to move the debris more frequently.
Oh, yeah.
And having to get the boat. That seems like that's going to be a really good solution. Yeah. We probably won't have it all built up and have no way to get it over there.
Right, yeah.
So that's going to solve a lot of it. But yeah, we need to get debris out of the Fort Bay.
So what he's talking about, though, is earlier in the season before we're spilling, maybe needing something similar. Okay, so that's where I think we might want to go, rather than just the idea that all the water management would change, that we would have just an alternative operation when we have a day like yesterday where you have a buildup, that we'd have a plan in place where you could react similarly to how you do in the summer.
Why are we not running the TSW bay right now?
We just shut it down. We had it going the other day for the steelhead study. Normally it's not open this time of year.
No, but I mean, we have plenty of flow. We could open so you can get the debris.
That's if we decide to move the debris, we got to give 24-hour notice or something like that. But we got to notify John Bay and
Paul Bay.
But we'll open the TSW before that.
I think they're worried about hurting his release pipe.
Right. Okay. They're coming there. Heads up too. They're coming in Monday to retrieve the that pipe.
Right. And once the pipe's out, you could run it.
No, but this is outside what we're dealing with here. While if we're going to walk as a group, I believe, in order to do your tour,
right?
You're just focused on the deal with the TSW just was that they had pipes in, and that's why they're not operating it. So their pipes are coming out probably
Monday.
Okay. Right, but once they come out, we don't have any concerns that you run the TSW.
No, that's not anything that's in the fish passage plan. We're not in spill season for fish, and so we have no directive. The project has the flexibility to spill through any bay they should choose. And if they choose to run the PSW, they have that flexibility.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, well, that wraps it up, unless you have one more.
I do have one other issue, and that's the Dal split flow operation. I made a nice trip up to the Dalles last week for no reason, but because I didn't read all of Tammy's email, but I did. That kind of made me start thinking about it. I mean, this is something that we've had two meetings now scheduled, and both were canceled. So I've started. I took the change form, erased what was in there, and started over again. And I have a new change form, and I'm going to submit that. But basically, I'm taking a shot at it. One thing I'd like to know, the fishery field unit, I think the FFU did the work on the ladder density for the Bonneville split flow operation, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure if it was John Dalen or who did that, but Yeah, so I don't know if you guys are tasked with doing that now for this one, but I mean, if we're going to have a meeting, we need to have these kind of
right.
This kind of information done ahead of time. I don't know, John, we talked a bit about getting Chris Caudill to look at RT data that we have and get that in place. I don't think it's going to tell us much because I doubt there was enough fish there doing those specific tests that we had last year that Scott so generously provided. But it's worth looking into that a little bit. And Bob's brought up the issue of, well, what's the delay factor? Is there a way of looking at that? Maybe there's a way of teasing that out with a pit tag detector that we have there now. So either in a retroactive mode or possibly in a a test for this year. But the key is that we're looking at a run forecast of 800 to 900,000 upriver bright fall chinook hitting the Dalles Dam this year, Bonneville, and eventually the Dalles, depending on how many get caught in nets. That's a lot of fish. So we saw an issue last year. We're going to see an issue this year, I think, and we want to have this ready to go. So it's just like Bill's issue. You know, it's a sort of a may not happen every year, but we want to have a plan in place mm-hmm. if it does happen. So.
Yeah, I've had Stansel, he's putting together some kind of a plan to see if he can get in there and do some evaluation during it okay. as well, yeah. looking at some of the ladder counts.
So we Dalen's need to come up with an idea that. Of right. what we would do for that, too. You know, but I think we need to have something in place sooner than later, so especially if there's going to be some discussion. BPA is going to have an issue with this because I'm thinking that I'm putting in 10K of spill just as a, you know, grab it out of thin air, but... I think we have to have enough to have a signature there, so I don't want to see 3K for a few hours. I think we're gonna need a significant amount of water to pull fish to that ladder. So there was a lot of information on fish passage in the North Ladder. We can look at that as well. Kind of digging through all the grass and stuff, but anyway, I'm just gonna move forward with the change form and start to fill it out the way I think we need to fill it out, especially the justification part of it. So I'd urge. Us to have a meeting yeah. as soon as possible, and that's why I like.
Well, when are you going to send that? Are you going to send it out right now? Submitting it.
Okay. So that's where I'm at right now.
Well, can we have that meeting in April, early April?
Yeah, we were talking about possibly after the April FPOM, and I'm wondering if that's appropriate. Or,
yeah.
We have enough time. Is the issue.
So I think it'll be delays if we do research and we gotta get something in place for that.
So yeah.
I mean, otherwise, it can wait.
It can wait until, June. You know, I don't want to wait until August to be standing around looking at it.
Let's see what you got.
We need to run things through. If it comes up that we want 10K or whatever, I mean, what's that gonna take? So
it's not gonna be the end of the world. I mean, this is a huge return. It's not a hard one to sell.
Yeah. Why do we want to kill our everything that we've worked to achieve? Doesn't make any sense. So I'm not saying it's kill, but there's a delay factor. It could be serious, I think. So but I just want sooner right. These things go.
Yeah, we talked about this
time
last
goes
year.
By
we need to get something in place and be prepared.
So can we commit to April 10th so I don't have to reschedule it for a fourth time?
And that's everybody. I mean, I don't know if BPA, if there's issues, Scott, if BPA's got something going on.
You send out whatever you got to do.
Yeah, I can send it out. I mean, it's just a shot in the dark, but it's, I will.
And then let's just shoot for after F-bomb.
I'll send to Tammy. Tammy can
shoot
for the 10th.
Oh, you don't?
You just send it out and see what it is.
Well, it's more fun to throw it out there.
I have a hard copy.
What are you waiting for?
Here's the hard copy.
We've been working on this since January. No, actually, I first brought this up last fall. So.
All right. Anything else? We'll get that on the 10th.
You're done. Yeah, okay. Good.
With that, thanks for everybody for calling in. This wraps it up for today. We're going to meet and get a tour wherever Carl went.